Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure, as always. We got some, you're going to be glad you hung out with us because we got our good friend Pat Weber with us right now. Patricia Weber is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She is America's number one sales coach. And she is, she also works quite a bit with introverts as well. And her company's name is Professional Strategies Incorporated, and she's our good friend, long time member of our Brain Trust. Pat Weber, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Jim. Just watch it when you keep going down that long time.
Well, we got you when you were only about 16, as I remember.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And by the way, April is your 11th anniversary as a member of our Brain Trust. April, how about that? So we got to get you back for your 11th anniversary. How about that, huh?
I'll be there. Are we gonna
How many radio programs do you know that are celebrating 11th anniversaries with their guests?
Yeah, I really can't think of one even that, you know, might broadcast here in Norfolk, Virginia. I just can't think of one.
I'm not saying there aren't any, but how many? They're not that many. Anyway, we're glad. We appreciate your steadfast support of all that we do and all that we do for small business. And I know you work hard in your area for small businesses. One of the areas that you kind of focus on, Pat, is introverts. You've been working quite a bit on that topic, haven't you?
Yes, for about 3 years after a coach of mine helped me to get really clear on, you know, what is unique about me. Well, that's what's unique about me. I'm an introvert who has been in sales for, well, more years than I've been on your radio show. And so it's been a really beautiful awakening because there are so many small business owners and independent professionals, particularly now, that there might be people leaving their jobs, not necessarily because they want to, and going out on their own. And so I do specialize in them because we have some unique things to bring to customers.
Well, one of the things, you know, what about when introverts get laid off and they want to start a business? Is there an extra degree of difficulty for someone like that? Someone who's not like, I don't think I'm an introvert, but I don't know that I'm an extrovert, believe it or not. But what's the other term? There's another term for that.
Well, you could be an extroverting introvert.
Oh, there's another term for it, but never mind that. My point is, some people who get laid off.
Yeah.
Let me put it this way. The reason I have my business right now, and by the way, this is my 20th year, and May will be my 20th anniversary as a small business owner, I got downsized twice in 18 months.
Wow.
And so I said, you know, I was going to get my resume together after the second time, and I said, wait a minute. I don't need any help screwing up my life. I can do that by myself. And so I started my own business. But I had, you know, I knew how to get up and go out into the marketplace. Some people who've been employees all their life, they've been sort of mm-hmm. taken care of by the patriarchal corporation or whatever. You know, how do those people get up off their backside and go out in the marketplace and carve out their own niche?
Yeah, I think that's a good question, Jim, because I do think that what's happening now is with more people getting laid off, there are more people, even if it's in between what they want in terms of a regular job, they're going out into business for
right.
themselves, and a lot of them will be introverts. And why I think now is such a good time, if they know how to do it correctly, we have such innate traits that people who buy want. Right now, the reason why many introverts who are already in business are getting more successful is because they go at sales differently. They approach it first from the value of what they have. Well, guess what? Right now in a recession, that's what people want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to have all this relationship building at first, and that's what introverts are good at second. We bring value first, and then we deepen the relationship. And if we can remember that, then all those traits about ourselves as an introvert that would help us build value, like you and I know, Jim, even on your radio show, all of your guests, there's not a lot of small talk, is there? You
no.
go right into it.
We try to. Well, we try to do a little bit of chat and a little bit of entertainment, but we do our best to deliver the goods.
Well, entertainment is different than small talk. But yes, I mean, because I have listened to other of your, in particular, Brain Trust members, and it's very rare that there's not value that someone can come away from your radio show with. And I don't know if that's just your style or how it happened, but what I'm
that's our reason for being here. But one of the things that here's something you talked about value just a minute ago, and I want to talk about that. See, I wonder how many introverts, or at least people maybe just they're not introverts, they just don't have a lot of self confidence, especially if they've just been laid off. Your self confidence takes it right in the gut, and so I wonder how many people who have value and they think and they know that they could have value, but they're not good at, they're not experienced at getting it out there. I mean, you and I both know people mm-hmm. who don't have all that much critical mass, but they're great at convincing people that they do. And so, you know, how many people do you know who you wonder why they're doing, whether they've even got a job or a customer, because you know that they don't have much behind what they're saying, but they know how to convince people to do business with them. And the converse of that is somebody who has a lot of value, not like the introvert, but they don't know how to say, "Hi, I'm Jim. How do you like me so far?"
Yeah, isn't that interesting observation that it is that way a lot of times? I think the people that have a lot of value, well, I don't know, which would be easier, having a lot of value and not knowing how to present it, or knowing how to present it but not having much value? I think that's part. That last part is probably how we got in the problem that we are today.
Well, it is. Now, yeah. I will tell you this though, I had a lot of value, but when I started my business, I faked a little bit. I can tell you when I started my business, I knew how to do some stuff, but I faked some stuff too. I don't mind telling you. Stand by, Pat. We're going to take a quick break first. We're going to come right back and talk about maybe your next business. 20 after. Stay with us.
Aflac for small business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm a flea.
Okay. Well, it is a dog-eat-dog world out there.
Look, I got a family business. Oh, here comes Paw.
Oh, your dad?
No, a Paw!
Well, with Aflac for small business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you.
Oh, like a flea market? Sort of.
Visit AflacSB.com or call 1-800-99...
Aflac!
American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Hi, I'm Arnold Palmer. You know, operating a successful business is a lot like playing golf. You need focus, dedication, passion, and a great caddy to shoulder the load. That's why I'm a client of Administaff. They manage HR burdens for America's best small businesses, providing administrative relief, big company benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve productivity.
That's right, Arnold. I'm Dr. Castellano, owner of the Cutting Associates here in Missouri. We signed on with Administaff to provide better benefits for our employees, but Administaff's benefits for employers have surpassed our highest expectations, from recruiting and job training to payroll and liability issues. Administaff offers all the advantages a growing company needs.
To take a load off, talk to the pros at Administaff. Call 800-465-3800 or visit administaff.com. Small business is good for America. Administaff is good for small business.
Consumer Focus, I'm Matt Kelly. Last month, the Zota virus dealt a crippling blow to some of the world's largest companies. Now, small and mid-sized businesses are wondering if their IT networks stand a chance against the threat of viruses, spam, and more. IBM's Mike Regal.
More than 90% of all virus outbreaks now start with email. And amazingly, half of all the email sent is spam. And a quarter contains pornographic content. What this means is that small and mid-sized businesses can't be as productive or competitive as they want, and it damages their reputations in the process.
Regal recommends that even the smallest of businesses can afford to implement big business strategies when it comes to email security.
Antivirus and anti-spam programs are extremely cost-effective. If you're looking for added protection, you can use an outside vendor to easily manage your email security, and that allows you to focus on your core business operations.
For more information on email security, visit IBM.com/businesscenter/email. That's Consumer Focus from IBM. I'm Matt Kelly.
You've reached Pearson Incorporated. For Matt Pearson Sales, press 1. For Matt Pearson Accounting, press 1. For Matt Pearson Human Resources, press 1.
At Aflac, we know things are different in small companies. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. With Aflac SB, your small business can have the same Aflac products and service the big guys get at no direct cost to you.
For Matt Pearce, in a state of exhaustion, press 1.
To learn more, call 800-99-AFLAC or visit Aflac SB.
Little strawberry alarm clock from the Wayback Machine. 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for joining me. It's my pleasure as always. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. Use it to your advantage. We built it for you, and there's no barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us and use our stuff. You can check out my blog while you're there. I hope you will. I'm kind of proud of that. Also, my newsletter, you can see a sample of what it looks like and subscribe. We'll send it to you for free every Sunday afternoon by email, get you ready for the week ahead. And you can check out, you can read articles, you can listen to interviews of past guests, of guests that I've interviewed in the past. Thousands of each one of those there, about 1,500 Brain Trust members, like our good friend Pat Weber, who's with us right now. My knowledge base, AskJim.biz, is there. Lots and lots of stuff that will help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Pat Weber is the number one sales coach, especially for introverts. She's focusing on that as part of her, one of the main approaches to her, of her professional life. Pat, give us your website and tell folks how we can find you.
Patricia-Weber with 1B .com. Patricia-Weber.com. That's actually my blog, so that's a good place to start. And you can connect with me online. Did you know, Jim, that the highest percentage so far, at least assessed, on the Twitter website are INT, or is it INSs? Anyway, they're introverts.
Oh, really?
17% are introverts in the Myers-Briggs, one of those categories that fall out into 16 different assessments. Yeah, I found that pretty interesting, but I didn't find it interesting so much. And it kind of ties into what we were talking about. You know, like why is it that some people bring value but really can't communicate it, and then other people can communicate the value but really don't have it? You know, I think just introverts overall, I don't know. I'm just so excited about introverts at this time and space.
Now, that's kind of, that's not something you hear an awful lot, folks. I'm so excited about introverts. I'm not even sure those, I'm not even sure those two words, excited and introverts, there's something, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. It's just kind of an interesting thing to say.
Well, you know, we're quiet. We're generally quiet because, truthfully, you know, we can get along in that whole quietness. But my point about people who are going into business today for whatever reason, whether they're downsized out or because they're sick of being on the hook of possibly being downsized, if you're an introvert, you're going to succeed more easily if you focus on your – we plan. Don't we like to plan a lot?
Yeah.
I mean,
let me throw something else out, Pat, that I think is I want to ask you about. I'm probably not an introvert, but I'm not as much of a self-promoter as I probably ought to be. So when I started my consulting business in 89, I didn't like, I don't like people who come up and say, you know, who wanted, you know, who the self-promoters. I don't care for those people. I didn't want to be like that. So what I think introverts and people who aren't good self-promoters, well, I think what you asked the question, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? Hi, I'm Jim, or bring in, you know, bring the value. Bring the value is the best thing. Get up off your backside. Find somebody, even if it's your mother, that to give you some business, and let them tell people about what a great job you did. If you, it takes a little more time. You have to have a little more patience. But do such a great job, your customers have to tell other people about you. And word of mouth, as you know, Pat, is the best business in the world.
It's
the best marketing in the world.
Definitely, as long as it's good word of mouth.
Yeah. No, I'm assuming.
Dr. Meisner,
I'm presuming said, that.
About the kind of word of mouth. But, yeah, you know, I talk a lot with my clients about being a hub as opposed to being a hook.
Right.
When they're out networking, because the difference is just that. You lead with the value, and you don't become so self-promoting as much as you speak clearly about what it is that your services, your product can do in the solution end. And then you don't have to be so conscious of that, because what you want to do as a hub is help those people you're meeting out there. So even if you're in the marketplace getting a job, my point is focus on the other people and how can you help them first.
Right.
Because that's what's going to lead you to, as long as you can communicate the value some way, to what you want, whether it's another job or you want to launch your business and you need resources for it, or you've got a
but
great
if you
idea
do it,
and you need somebody to back you with money. It doesn't matter.
But if you do it long enough, Pat, you become a center of influence. And when
exactly.
Once you become a center of influence, you will be successful after that.
That's right. And you can build that on your strengths. You don't have to become that self-promoter.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is that's what you did, Jim. You took your own strengths. You didn't think about self-promoting. And you got out there and you were a hub. And you had a great idea. And it had people that were attracted to it.
But you got to have patience, Pat. You got to have patience,
yeah.
And you got to believe. You got to believe, and you got to be willing to invest in the long term.
You have to, and I think that's what introverts do well. We plan.
I agree.
We're focused long term. We're creative. We definitely.
You like quality, and you like quality.
Exactly. We like quality in everything, including our relationship. So.
Patricia-Weber.com. That's 1B, right?
1B. Like
Patricia-Weber.com. It's a good site, folks. Hey, thanks, Pat, for being here. Good job, as always.
Thanks, Jim.
We'll see you next week. We're going to see you in April. We're going to celebrate your 11th anniversary. Pat Weber, ladies and gentlemen. She'll be back. I will be, too, right after these messages. Whatever you do, don't go away.
There's nothing small about today's small business. Big hours make up big work weeks. Every meeting is a big meeting. Every call is a big call. When the only printer for all the computers breaks down, it's a big problem. And now, thanks to Aflac, even small business insurance has gone big. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. Now, your small business can have the same great Aflac products and service the big guys get. For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or visit aflacsb.com.
Aflac!
For small business, American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
Since I began broadcasting the show in 1997, part of my contract with you has been to introduce you to only the very best people, companies, and products that I can find. IBM fits that profile 100%. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know by now, IBM is my sponsor in bringing you this show and all of my other small business resources. Take it from me, IBM has done a great job of developing the kinds of products and services you and I need to grow our small businesses and that help us gain a competitive edge through technology. You can find all of IBM's small business offerings at ibm.com/business center, including a free electronic newsletter, special offers, and online advice on helping you make the right technology and e-business choices. I hope you'll say thanks to IBM for helping me help you by giving them first shot at your technology and e-commerce business. That's www.ibm.com/business center. It's a great small business website.
I'm Arnold Palmer, and I've played some tough courses in my career, but the course that posed the most challenging hazards for me is being a business owner. That's why I'm a client of Administaff. They manage HR burdens like government compliance, workers' comp, and payroll taxes, giving you a competitive advantage.
That's right, Arnold. I'm Susan Moore, president of DPI here in Georgia, and I've seen the cost of complying with employment regulations skyrocket. Administaff helps me control and manage these costs, and they handle all of my other HR needs too, enabling me to devote my energy to growing the business, not just preserving it.
Administaff champions the needs of business owners, providing administrative relief, big company benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve productivity. Call Administaff at 800-465-3800 or visit administaff.com. And remember, small business is good for America. Administaff is good for small business.
Aflac for small business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an amoeba.
An amoeba?
Uh-oh, got a split.
Oh, bye.
No, I got a split in half. You know, us amoebas always growing.
Well, with Aflac for small business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you while you're still growing.
Great, because here I go. Much better.
Well, you can both visit AflacSP.com or call 1-800-99-AFLAC. American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The small business advocate, Jim Blassingame.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm glad you're here. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. You're going to be glad you did, because we've got our good buddy Don Lambro back on the show. Donald is the chief political correspondent for the Washington Times. He's also a syndicated columnist. Many of you see his column across the country in newspapers across the country. And he's also the author of the outstanding book, Fat City, which is one of President Reagan's favorite books. And I'm glad to tell you, folks, he's our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Don Lambro, welcome back to the show.
Jim, thank you. Good morning.
It's good to have you back. I don't know if you live inside the Beltway. I don't think you live inside the Beltway, but you spend a lot of your time inside the Beltway. And I've always kind of felt like that was like Bizarro World, the old comic strip. I used to read comic books when I was a kid about Bizarro World, where everything, you know, up was down, in was out, nothing was logical, everything was the opposite of what you thought it should be. And you got to be believing that Bizarro World, Washington, D.C., is now on steroids. What do you think?
Well, it can be that. I mean, I've been covering Washington since the 1960s, and it's the center of power in America and our representational system, and it can be a place where you can see be inspired by great actions, and other times it can be a place of turmoil and division. For 225 years, we survived both.
Well, let me say this. It's my favorite city on the planet in terms of visiting a big city, because it's almost not like a big city. It's a beautiful, beautiful part of the world. It's a beautiful part of America. And, of course, when I'm making my comments, I'm primarily talking about the politics. But, you know, when I hear politicians spending $1 trillion in one stroke of a pen, And then within 24 hours talking about fiscal responsibility, Don, that's bizarre. That would make a perfect bizarro world comic strip.
It is, and I caught that juxtaposition myself. A lot of people here were making the comparison when Obama was spending, $1 trillion here, $1 trillion there, and then he holds this summit meeting where he talks about, we got to get tough on spending and we got to cut this deficit. It's like someone who is an alcoholic. He says, "Well, I've got to stop drinking, but pass me the bottle for another round."
Right. So well, it's like, what is that? Give me fiscal discipline, but not right. But yeah, you see, what is it they say? It's like, give me fiscal discipline, but not yet, not too soon, or something like that. Not right now.
Yes. Well, the budget's coming out today, Obama's budget. So yeah. There'll be another round of spending. He's going to, I guess, we'll have spending cuts in there. But the headlines in the papers this morning are that he's going to set up this $634 billion fund, three-quarters of $1 trillion, for his health care plan. And despite the fact that everyone is cash-strapped and our economy's in the basement, he's planning to spend even more money. One thing Ronald Reagan taught us is you attack just one or two things, and if you can get those done, you're doing a good job.
And of course, then you finish those up, and you move on to something else.
If you have time, yes. And he fought the evil empire and brought it to its knees and collapsed, and he put the economy back on track. But Obama wants to do everything. He wants to fix Social Security, Medicare. Today he's going to talk about, he's going to pursue his health care fund, and so everyone will get health care. And he's going to spend trillions of dollars to get the economy back on track. Well, you can't do them all, and he's not going to be able to do them all.
Well, Don, if we actually were living in Fat City, as your book is titled, if we actually were living in Fat City, you could kind of see where somebody like President Obama and our Congress would say, okay, we're doing pretty good, we can afford this, okay, maybe it's a little over the top, but we'll figure it out. But like,
well,
you
we're
say,
not gonna be able to.
Well, of course, when we're where we are right now, I mean, we're in the worst recession in my lifetime, and I've been watching them since 1969, maybe the worst one since the Great Depression, we don't know yet. We're in that kind of a situation. We got some unprecedented things going on, even Depression era unprecedented, and yet he's talking about spending. They're talking about spending all this money. Don, where is it going to come from?
It's going to come from the American taxpayers now and in the future.
Generations.
Higher taxes. And he's calling for higher taxes. Well, that's another thing. In the midst of a recession like this, to say, well, we're going to be raising taxes next year, I think that is really kind of off the ball.
Well, stand by. We're going to come back right back to that, folks. Let Don weigh in on that right after these messages. It's 20 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Here's Chicago to take us out.
Aflac for Small Business, how can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business, you dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business, just me and my, my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for Small Business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Two.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Hi, I'm Arnold Palmer. Operating a successful business is a lot like playing golf. You need focus, dedication, passion, and a great caddy to shoulder the load.
That's why I'm a client of Administaff.
They manage HR burdens for America's best small businesses, providing administrative relief, big company benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve productivity.
That's right, Arnold. I'm Susan Moore, president of DPI here in Georgia. We signed on with Administaff to provide
provide better benefits for our employees, but Administaff benefits for employers have surpassed our highest expectations. From recruiting and job training to payroll and liability issues, Administaff offers all the advantages a growing company needs.
To take a load off, talk to the pros at Administaff. Call 800-465-3800 or visit administaff.com. Small business is good for America. Administaff is good for small business.
Hi, folks. This is Jim Blasingame with good news about valuable online resources from our friends at IBM. Want to get practical answers to your business questions? Go to IBM Small Business Center at ibm.com/businesscenter/small business. Ask your question, and it will be answered by email by a member of My Brain Trust. How would you like to improve customer communications or increase employee productivity? Or maybe you need help with marketing, data security, or an accounting system your company can grow with. Are you interested in learning how other companies are using technology and how they've approached small business challenges? An array of articles and customer testimonials, plus IBM's e-newsletter, Forward View, are ready for you at ibm.com/businesscenter/small business. And if you're interested in hardware and software solutions, plus current promotions, all of this is available at IBM Small Business Center at ibm.com/businesscenter/small business. Thanks again, IBM, for all you do for small business.
Aflac for small business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm a flea.
Okay. Well, it is a dog-eat-dog world out there.
Look, I got a family business. Oh, here comes Paw.
Oh, your dad?
No, a Paw!
Well, with Aflac for small business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you.
Oh, like a flea market? Sort of.
Visit AflacSP.com or call 1-800-99-AFLAC. American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
That's Ann and Nancy, ladies and gentlemen, bringing us back. The Wilson sisters, otherwise known as Hart. 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com, and I hope you'll go there and check it out. Subscribe to my newsletter. Check out my blog. Listen to archives. Read articles. You got 5 seconds? We got something for you. You got 1 minute? We got something for you. You got 3 minutes? 15 minutes? You want to read? You want to listen? We got what you need. Right there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out. If you're starting a business, I think you'll find something there that will help you. And it's all free. We built it just for you. Don Lambrou is our guest. He's chief political correspondent for the Washington Times. And we're talking about, he's also syndicated across the country, folks. Don, when I think about, you were talking about higher taxes. The two things that really set the Great Depression into motion, in my opinion, the two of the biggest levers that pushed the global economy actually into a recession was higher taxes by Hoover, as I remember. I don't know if Roosevelt raised taxes, but I think Hoover did. And number two, the Smoot-Hawley tariff bill, which created a domino, a cascading of protectionism around the world. Those two things, the higher tax in the United States and the Smoot-Hawley tariff cascading protectionism around the world. What do you think about, and if that's the case, and I think it is, we got to be real careful here, because Obama's going to raise taxes. Some of the things they're doing, this Buy America thing in their stimulus package, that puts off some of our trading partners, doesn't it?
Well, it's created a lot of consternation and maybe reprisals around the world when they saw that language.
Reprisals create cascades.
It does, and the other countries will, and already have in many places, reacted by restricting our imports from in those countries. So, yeah, that is the worst thing that can happen in a global recession, which is what we're in, and trade is a huge part of it.
Yep.
Most Americans don't fully appreciate it. You know, most things people say, well, America doesn't make much anymore, and America doesn't, you know, we don't sell abroad, we're just getting imports. Well, that's not true.
That's right.
Before we went into this recession, we were selling made in America, about $1.7 trillion a year in goods and services. So And, of course, that has fallen dramatically, and trade is probably really in the basement now for us and for our trading partners around the world. And that's why this is this downturn is going to take a lot longer to come out of, because it is truly global. But you're right. Roosevelt also did raise taxes eventually. And, of course, the Smoot-Hawley tariffs, which really exacerbated the Depression, sent us into a Depression, they were passed under FDR in the 1930s. And, you know, we're kind of making the same mistake again. The tax cuts, Bush tax cuts, will expire next year. Bush has already announced, Obama's already announced that one way to deal with the deficit is we were going to raise the two top rates, with the top rate moving to close to 40%. This is the worst thing you can do in a recession.
Yep. And if you make, apparently, according to the Obama administration, if you make over $250,000 a year in income, you're rich.
Apparently. But, you know, a lot of, as you know more than anyone, small
businesses. And let me say something. That's a family. That's not even one person. That's a family over $250,000.
Right.
If you're married filing jointly and you make over $250,000, you're rich. You're going to get your taxes increased.
Yeah, well, you know, let's say you make that and you have four kids. They're in college or whatever. You know,
and you live in D.C. or New York or L.A.
Right. Yeah. Or that's not going to go as far as it once did. And, you know, not only the administration now is talking about raising taxes on the people who save, invest, and work more, and not more than lower to middle income, but they too work and they earn a living. But the states are raising taxes. I mean, California is raising its income tax. It's adding a surcharge to the income tax. It's raising the car tax. New York is raising taxes. So you have a lot of states raising taxes. So this combination...
And people are fleeing both of those states, too, by the way.
And but, you know, many people can't. And this combination of taxes from the states, taxes from Washington, is putting the American people and our economy in a vice from which it's going to take a long time to recover.
But then we've got all this extra spending. Those higher taxes are not going to cover all that. And, you know, you're right about taking two or three things and working on those and getting them right. But the other night, President Obama talked about basically his cap-and-trade program, his universal health care plans. He didn't mention the unionism movement that he's supported so much over the last during the campaign, but you know that's right out there on the agenda to pass the so-called Employee Free Choice Act, which is not free choice at all. I mean, every one of those things are negative economy starters. I mean, they're economy depressors, not starters.
There's no doubt about that. You've ticked off all the main ones, and there are others. You know, the very first thing they did when they came in here is he reversed himself on exploring for oil in the Gulf to make ourselves more energy independent. Said, no, we're not going to do this now. And, well, he just kissed all those jobs on those oil rigs goodbye that would have been created. In fact, they're announcing they're going to go even further than not really more exploration in the Gulf for oil. They're going to add additional restrictions on the exploring we're doing there now. That's not good for the energy policy of this country.
Folks, these are the things that have to be pointed out. This is not about not wanting Mr. Obama to succeed. I want him to succeed. I just don't want to wreck our economy worse than it is. I want it to go back up, not down. And that's the reason why that's our job, is to point these things out. Tintel, stay with us. We'll be right back. When you're mocking out alone.
You've reached Pierce Incorporated. For Matt Pierce in sales, press 1. For Matt Pierce in accounting, press 1. For Matt Pierce in human resources, press 1.
At Aflac, we know things are different in small companies. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. With Aflac SB, your small business can have the same Aflac products and service the big guys get at no direct cost to you.
For Matt Pierce in a state of exhaustion, press 1.
To learn more, call 800-99-AFLAC
or
visit aflacsb.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
I'm Arnold Palmer, and I've played some tough courses in my career, but the course that posed the most challenging hazard for me is being a business owner. That's why I'm a client of Administaff. They manage HR burdens like government compliance, workers' comp, and payroll taxes, giving you a competitive advantage.
That's right, Arnold. I'm Susan Mingola, accounting manager of Group 1201 here in Georgia, and I've seen the cost of complying with employment regulations skyrocket. Administaff helps me control and manage these costs, and they handle all my other HR needs too, enabling me to devote my energy to growing the business, not preserving it.
Administaff champions the needs of business owners, providing administrative relief, big company benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve productivity. Call Administaff at 800-465-3800 or visit administaff.com. And remember, small business is good for America. Administaff is good for small business.
Consumer Focus, I'm Matt Kelly. Last month, the Zota virus dealt a crippling blow to some of the world's largest companies. Now, small and mid-sized businesses are wondering if their IT networks stand a chance against the threat of viruses, spam, and more. IBM's Mike Regal.
More than 90% of all virus outbreaks now start with email. And amazingly, half of all the email sent is spam. And a quarter contains pornographic content. What this means is that small and mid-sized businesses can't be as productive or competitive as they want, and it damages their reputations in the process.
Regal recommends that even the smallest of businesses can afford to implement big business strategies when it comes to email security.
Antivirus and anti-spam programs are extremely cost-effective. If you're looking for added protection, you can use an outside vendor to easily manage your email security, and that allows you to focus on your core business operations.
For more information on email security, visit IBM.com/business center/email. That's Consumer Focus from IBM. I'm Matt Kelly.
There's nothing small about today's small business. Big hours make up big work weeks. Every meeting is a big meeting. Every call is a big call. When the only printer for all the computers breaks down, it's a big problem. And now, thanks to Aflac, even small business insurance has gone big. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. Now, your small business can have the same great Aflac products and service the big guys get. For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or visit aflacsb.com.
Aflac!
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. The small business advocate, Don Lambro, is our guest. Don is chief political correspondent for the Washington Times, the author of Fat City. And Don, that's WashingtonTimes.com, right? Are you there, Don?
I'm here.
There you go. It's WashingtonTimes.com, right?
That's correct.
Don, one of the things that... That's been interesting to me is that the Bush administration threw hundreds of billions of dollars at this problem we got, this economic problem we got. The Obama administration has thrown hundreds of billions of dollars at this. They're pledging, you know, trillions more, but yet the markets are swooning every time these guys every time they open their mouth, just about. I mean, for all the money that we spent and all the money that we pledged on, other than keeping things from just collapsing into a smoking heap, what have we accomplished? I get the feeling that we haven't actually found. We still don't know how bad things are, and nobody seems to have come up with an idea about how to fix it after all this time.
No, I think you're right. I mean, number one, what's not getting a lot of attention is that the fact that the markets, the financial markets, as they've declined sharply, that's a vote of no confidence in everything that Obama and the administration has announced to date. They see through the rhetoric, and they look at this, and I'm quoting now Martin Regalia, the chief economist of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. I interviewed him yesterday,
and he says Marty's a member of our brain trust.
Right, and the markets, they see through the rhetoric, and they look at this, and he says they see that there's no there, unquote. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the markets are telling us, and that's, you know, you want to see a little bit of an optimism and enthusiasm. We're going to get ourselves out of this. Certainly, the plan on the banks, which I consider the most important part of this whole equation, it is so opaque and so dense that you can't, no one understands what they're going to do. Secretary Geithner didn't fully explain it, and hasn't to this day.
Nope.
And I'm told by people who are tied in closely with him that they still are trying to figure it out, what to do about the banks. And the problem with the banks and banking finances is much bigger and much more dangerous than anyone has let on. You know, you can't do everything. And I think Paulson, Secretary Paulson under Bush, you know, he had the right idea. Let's deal with the circulatory system of our economy first. And in the Obama administration, talking about change, but they're really basically trying to deal with that now. But I don't think Geithner has understands what he's going to do. They're still trying to figure out, and the markets are reacting to that negatively because they think this banking crisis has to be dealt with, and it isn't being.
Well, that's exactly what's wrong. They still haven't come up with a solution for the toxic assets, and until they do, Don, I don't think we're going to have any resolution until they come up with something, some way to deal with the toxic assets. But here on Main Street, Don, meanwhile, back at the ranch, we got small business owners who are hurting big time because consumers aren't spending. If they don't have a good relationship with an independent community bank, they're not able to get the credit that they need. Their big customers are cutting their contracts, and small business owners represent over half of the U.S. economy. We sign 70 million paychecks every week, more than any other sector in the economy, and yet this government, and the last one, has done nothing to help small businesses. It's as if we don't exist. And here's the irony, Don. Even though they act as if we don't exist, even though they give us lip service, the truth is small business is the group that can and will lead this economy out of what we're in right now. And they don't get that.
Yes, absolutely. And here goes the two things we were talking about earlier, taxes. For small business, of course, it's the top two tax rates. A large percentage of small business, as you know, and I've said many times, pay it under the individual tax system. And
yes.
He's going to raise those two top tax rates, and that's going to hit small business. And corporations, they're paying the second highest tax rate, 35%, in the world.
Yeah.
Only Japan's is higher. And Obama does not want to cut that tax rate. If any time in our history there was a time to be cutting taxes on businesses, this is it.
This is
and
it.
And he's saying no, N-O. I think that is a disastrous policy.
Well, that's an example of a regime that doesn't value the marketplace and that thinks that that you don't wait on the goose to lay the golden egg, you go ahead and kill the goose.
Yeah,
hey, Don, thanks. I got to wrap it up. I'm sorry. Thanks for being here. Thanks for your support over all these years. Thanks for all you do for us and for the cause.
Thank you, Jim, and good luck to you.
Thank you. Don Lambrow, ladies and gentlemen, Washington Times chief political correspondent. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be back on the other side of the news.
Look at all the cars. Lots of colored cars. Now, there's a blue one. Isn't it pretty? Ooh, look how fast that red one's going. It's red like that stop sign. Like my jacket.
This is a 38-year-old man.
My jacket's not a car, is it? Is my jacket a car? My jacket is red, but it doesn't go fast.
He may sound a little strange to you and me.
Vroom. Vroom, vroom.
But to his 2-year-old son, who's interested in cars and colors, he makes perfect sense.
That's the sound cars make.
When you talk with your child, you build vocabulary, and learning starts long before school does. So follow their lead. Take simple everyday moments, like eating dinner or just watching cars go by, and turn them into learning moments.
Ooh, look, red car!
Yes! That is moving awfully fast.
Blue car!
Yes! The man in the red car is about to meet the man in the blue car. Get himself a pretty pink ticket.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. For more tips, go to bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
This is the Global American Network.
Hi,
IRN USA Radio News. I'm Greg Moore. The budget President Obama will hand to Congress today calls for spending over $600 billion over the next 10 years to revamp the health care system. Obama plans to pay for health care reform by raising taxes on wealthy Americans and trimming government spending. The Wall Street Journal says roughly half would come from slashing tax deductions for the wealthiest Americans. The second half of the reform money would come from slashing Medicare spending on hospitals, medications, and managed care. The president will deliver a speech Friday about his plans to start withdrawing U.S. troops from Iraq. Obama pledged throughout his presidential campaign to withdraw all U.S. combat troops from Iraq within 16 months of taking office. Pentagon officials said some 40,000 troops who are training and mentoring Iraqi security forces are expected to remain in Iraq until the end of 2011. You're listening to IRN USA Radio News.
Are you worried about making money in this economy? Well, I'm not, and you shouldn't be either. Hi, I'm Laurel Langmire. The strategies I'm teaching right now can put new money in your bank account in the next 4 to 6 weeks.
Best-selling author and millionaire maker, Laurel Langmire has personally coached hundreds of people into financial freedom. Laurel can teach you how to grow your bank account fast, even in this economy.
My experience in the first 4 months, I walked away with almost $300,000.
Did you know that fortunes are made in recessions? I can show you how to make more money this year than ever before.
Get started with Laurel's book, Millionaire Maker, and her powerful CD, Creating Massive Wealth in Today's Economy, a $75 value.
You can do this. And to get started, I'm going to give you a copy of my best-selling book and a bonus CD for free.
Just pay a small shipping fee, and you can put new money in your bank account in the next 4 to 6 weeks. Call 1-800-508-6722 for your free book and CD. That's 800-508-6722. 800-508-6722.
President Obama is moving to boost regulations in the troubled financial sector. We have more on the story from correspondent Terry Moore.
After a White House meeting with Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner and top lawmakers, the president cited growing turmoil on Wall Street and fallout on Main Street.
While free markets are the key to our progress, they do not give us free license to take whatever we can get, however we can get it.
Obama said financial markets need clear rules of the road.
Not to hinder financial institutions, but to keep those financial institutions strong.
The president noted that his administration is now working with Congress to modernize and streamline regulations on financial markets.
Attorney General Eric Holder says the Guantanamo prison in Cuba is, quote, well-run now, and there is no indication of inmate mistreatment. However, Holder added that President Obama is intent on closing it. The complex houses about 250 detainees. For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
Here's a word about Israel from Dr. Jack Hayford, president of the International Church of the Foursquare Gospel.
To go to Israel is to change the way you will ever approach the Bible. The Bible becomes faced in an entirely deeper and richer way because you have been where it happened. You'll never be the same when you visit Israel.
To start planning your trip to Israel today, visit www.goisrael.com.
You'll never be the same.
A former president of the United States stopped by a Dallas, Texas elementary school this week. At Pershing Elementary, the former White House occupant popped his head into a classroom and asked, "Hey kids, do you know who I am?" After a pause, one student shouted, "George Washington." Close, it was actually George W. Bush. The Dallas Morning News says the former president tried to introduce himself in another classroom in Spanish. He flunked that test, getting only curious looks until he was rescued by the principal. The school district website says the former president and First Lady Laura Bush stopped by every classroom and visited their neighborhood school for more than an hour, encouraging kids to read instead of watching TV. Mr. Bush told students that reading is the key to everything, quote, including being president. A new report says the son of U.S. Senator Roland Burris received a state job under former Governor Rod Blagojevich and also owes back taxes. The Chicago Sun-Times reports Roland W. Burris II was hired as a senior counsel for the state's housing authority last September, shortly after the IRS put a $34,000 lien on his Southside home. There have been calls for Senator Burris to resign because of his inconsistent statements about raising money for Blagojevich. Blagojevich is charged with soliciting bribes for the Senate seat to which he appointed Burris in December. Senator Burris denies any wrongdoing. I'm Greg Moore, and that's news from the Information Radio Network.
Janine Marks, a 12-year-old, was fairly normal.
she spent a lot of time online. One day, she met a new friend. The new friend had the same problems at home. They liked the same bands. They worried about the same subjects in school. They promised to keep each other's secrets. They wished they went to the same junior high. The new friend had good news. He said he was going to be in Janine's area one Saturday. He thought it would be amazing if they could just hang out, go to the mall. Janine agreed. The new friend didn't want parents messing this up. Janine showed up alone. So did her new friend, who wasn't in junior high, wasn't nice, and wasn't a 14-year-old boy. Every day, children are sexually solicited online. Help delete online predators. Call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com to learn how to protect your kids' online life. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
Welcome to the Small Business Advocate Show, brought to you by IBM. Solutions designed and built for small business. By Administaff. Administaff is good for small business. And by Aflac. Ask about it at work. And now, conducting over 1,000 live interviews each year, the Iron Man of Radio.
I feel ready to go another 9 innings.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Hello, America, and good day to our friends around the world. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure as always. I think you're going to be glad you did, because we got our good buddy, Jim Ostroff back with us. Jim is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's sitting in for Joan Pride again today, and he's with the Kiplinger Editors. He's associate editor with the Kiplinger Editors. As you know, once a week we take the Kiplinger letter, the weekly Kiplinger letter, and we dissect it. We break it down into bite-sized pieces, and the most recent one, by the way, I should say, the one that was just published. And we talk about some of the things that are on in that letter, and especially with regard to how it affects you and me and our small businesses. Quite a bit of stuff. One of the good things that I think you'll like about this this visit we have with Jim today is quite a bit of good suggestions in here about how to help you make sure you survive 09. And if you remember, if you haven't already heard me say it, I'm going to say it again. In 2009, your attitude for your small business should be, I'm going to win by surviving. Now, remember, obviously, if you thrive, if you grow, if you actually have a pretty good year, that's surviving. So I'm not saying you should have a low expectation. I'm not saying you shouldn't reach for another rung. I'm just saying that if you survive, if that's all you do in 09 is survive, you've had a good year. There's no shame. There will, in fact, you'll be among the successful if you survive 09, because we got a lot of stuff going on right now. We got a lot of issues going on right now. We got people that you and I have put in charge of helping us solve some of these things, and they haven't come up with all the answers yet. Maybe it's not their fault, but the fact remains that we don't have the answers. And as long as we don't have a few answers, we need a few more answers. Until we do, things are going to be up in the air for a while. So let's survive 09. Stay with me. I'll be.
Aflac for small business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an amoeba.
An amoeba?
Uh-oh, got a split.
Oh, bye.
No, I got a split in half. You know, us amoebas always growing.
Well, with Aflac for small business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you while you're still growing.
Great, because here I go. much better.
Well, you can both visit AflacSB.com or call 1-800-99-AFLAC. American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Hi, I'm Arnold Palmer. You know, operating a successful business is a lot like playing golf. You need focus, dedication, passion, and a great caddy to shoulder the load. That's why I'm a client of Administaff. They manage HR burdens for America's best small businesses, providing administrative relief, big company benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve productivity.
That's right, Arnold. I'm Susan Mingola, accounting manager of Group 1201 here in Georgia. We signed on with Administaff to provide better benefits for our employees, but Administaff benefits for employers have surpassed our highest expectations. From recruiting and job training to payroll and liability issues, Administaff offers all the advantages a growing company needs.
To take a load off, talk to the pros at Administaff. Call 800-465-3800 or visit administaff.com. Small business is good for America. Administaff is good for small business.
Hi, folks, this is Jim Blasingame with good news about valuable online resources from our friends at IBM. Want to get practical answers to your business questions? Go to IBM's Small Business Center at ibm.com/businesscenter/small business. Ask your question, and it will be answered by email by a member of My Brain Trust. How would you like to improve customer communications or increase employee productivity? Or maybe you need help with marketing, data security, or an accounting system your company can grow with. Are you interested in learning how other companies are using technology and how they've approached small business challenges? An array of articles and customer testimonials, plus IBM's e-newsletter, Forward View, are ready for you at ibm.com/businesscenter/small business. And if you're interested in hardware and software solutions, plus current promotions, all of this is available at IBM Small Business Center at ibm.com/businesscenter/small business. Thanks again, IBM, for all you do for small business.
Aflac for Small Business, how can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business, you dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business, just me and my, my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for Small Business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Little Van Halen bringing us back. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Jim Ostroff is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Jim is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's associate editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and he's here to help us to dissect and deliver the most recent Kiplinger letter. And he's our good friend, Jim Ostroff. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. Good morning, and good morning, everybody.
It's good to have you back, as always. Jim, one of the things that that you guys talked about in the letter that you led with the letter this week is something that's very important and that we've been talking about here on the show for actually a few months now, and that is the importance of paying attention to your cash. And I've always said that, as we all know, cash is king. It's always king, but in 2009, cash is emperor.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you just need it, and for many, need it to survive. There's no question. So,
in terms of payables, you know, in terms of or receivables, depending on which side of the aisle on the transaction you're on. Mm-hmm. 90 days has become the new 30. More and more people are taking longer to pay, and so that means that you've got to guard your cash.
Well, yeah, and I've, you know, even longer than that too. It's hard, yep. And you know, it's great if you have all of basically receivables that are not received, and you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's exactly right. One of the things that you guys point out are some of the things that, mm-hmm. that we should be doing is you talk about renegotiating contracts. The interesting thing about what's going on right now, Jim, in the economy, is we don't have inflation.
No.
We don't have deflation, but I heard somebody use the word the other day, disinflation. So is disinflation a way of saying prices are coming down, but we aren't into the dangerous spiral of deflation? Is that what that means?
Yeah, yes, it does. And you know, there's a concern, again, if we ran into a deflationary spiral. But generally, an off-gassing, a letting out across the board in prices – You know, you need to know that it's there and how to deal with it, because obviously price is so important. It depends how much you're going to make at some point.
Right.
So yes.
Well, and so the thing is that and we've had quite a few conversations about this on the show, Jim, where you know it's okay. You actually should say to your other party. You know, ask them about what the opportunities are for lowering your costs, renegotiating a contract, or whatever. But then, what if that's you? What if you're the person who's being asked that?
Right.
And so we've had quite a few discussions with other experts on this topic, and you know, so the important thing I think to point out is not to necessarily tell people whether they should lower their costs or how much they should ask for. But I think what's most important, Jim, is that the two parties have the conversation. Come up with a relationship that's good for both parties based on 2009 realities.
Well, right. And as opposed to where you just go up or they ring you up and you go humming a. You might just say it's a general trend and it is best to talk. See, what can we do for each other? What's best for us both?
One of the things that we've talked about on the show is if people want you to lower your price, are they asking for a lower price on your franchise item, on the main thing that you sell? If they are, that could be a little bit dangerous because you don't want to depress the perceived value of what you're delivering. And so one of the things we've talked about in the past, Jim, is don't discount your brand, but maybe you give some stuff away. And that way, when prices come back, when the economy comes back, you haven't put a new price on your brand products. They stayed the same, but you just quit giving people as much stuff.
Yeah, and say from the largest of mega corporations to smaller businesses, that's recognized. And I mean, among big businesses, that's why so often now you go to a store or something, and this much free or that much free, but they're not cutting the price. That's the last thing they want to do. And I tell you,
or free shipping. You know, the price maybe is not down a lot, but you got
shipping.
Free shipping. Yeah.
Right. You cheapen your brand. You make it a commodity, and there's hardly any time that you can recover.
And small businesses, that's especially true for small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So folks, you know, I guess you can tell that we don't have all the answers. It's just that these are some things to think about. And remember, if you haven't already had this conversation with your vendors, you should be having it with them. And you need to buckle up. If you haven't already had these conversations with your customers, you will be having them. It's just a matter of time, isn't it, Jim?
You can count on it. If you don't get together, they will find you, and they will ask. You better be prepared.
One of the things that you guys pointed out this week is with regard to matching 401ks. You know, Jim, this is a tough time for the whole retirement concept right now.
Yes.
Because number one, if you're living on retirement, or if you wanted to retire and you were trying to base that on your investment holdings, your 401ks, that kind of thing, you know, without any kind of a defined benefits plan, this is a tough time for you. And if you're trying to build retirement, a lot of companies are suspending matching, aren't they?
Well, they're suspending particularly matching on, you know, the big 401k, as well, of course, as raising, you know, the health insurance premiums, the deductibles, and the co-pays, you know, and doing other things like putting on a surcharge if a spouse is a member, and in reducing or eliminating subsidies that are given for transportation, you know, or even saying, okay, you have a uniform, you have to pay for it.
And these are all creative ways for companies to cut their expenses, but you might not like it if you're the employee, but you know what? If they haven't told you you've lost your job, this might be the alternative to that. So you might want to, you know, kind of use discretion as the better part of valor there. It's 20 after the hour. I'm on the wrong side of the clock. 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Jim Ostroff. That's Lindsey Buckingham, ladies and gentlemen. Song is called Big Love. That's one man, one guitar. If you ever get a chance to listen, if you ever get a chance to see him perform that, knock your socks off. I've heard a lot of guitar players. I've seen a lot of guitar players. I've even played the guitar a little bit in my life. Nothing to me compares to that performance. Welcome back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Jim Ostroff is our guest. He is associate editor with the Kiplinger Editors, an outstanding publication I've been telling you about for a long time. By the way, folks, my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. Use it to your advantage. We built it for you. You can find my newsletter there. You can find archives of past interviews. You can read articles. You can check out my blog. I hope you'll do that. Check out my blog and see what you think, because we post something just about every day there. And by the way, my knowledge base is also at the homepage there, right off the homepage at smallbusinessadvocate.com. You got 5 minutes, 5 seconds, we got something for you. You got 15 seconds or 15 minutes, we got something for you to help you with your business there. By the way, you can follow me on Twitter if you want. That's twitter.com/Jim Blassingame. So hope you'll do that. Yeah, that's right. I'm hip. I'm on Twitter now. Jim Ostroff and I are talking about some things that small businesses need to do that Kiplinger recommends this week. Jim, one of the things that you guys pointed out is something that I started talking about after 9-1-1. After 9-11, when the airlines industry, took it on the chin and everything, I started saying that technology was going to be a bigger enemy of the travel industry, the hospitality industry, airline industry, than terrorism was. And that technology I was thinking of was video conferencing. And you guys point out that more and more people, I have a friend who's in the video conferencing business. He has a small business. His business is rocking and rolling right now.
Oh, it is. And, again, it's just the fact that so often we see that people, individuals and companies, move all together down a trodden path pretty straight no matter where it goes. And then there comes a time, maybe enabled by technology or other things or need, and people say, do we need to go that path? Do we need to do that? Technology has improved dramatically now for video conferencing, mm-hmm. and, of course, for webinars.
Right. And don't forget the connectivity. I mean, the big pipes
plus,
the are big getting pipes, better and better.
And a big plus, you can bring in so many, your entire workforce or colleagues or professionals in the business or others in the business. And the result is that the sum is better than the individual parts. So it goes beyond even if we were perking along here as an economy,
mm-hmm.
Video conferencing and webinars are a good idea.
And the thing is, there are all kinds of different applications. Some of them are as simple as Skype and instant messaging.
Huh?
I mean, you can do Yahoo instant messaging with video. You can do it with Skype. You can do it, I guess, with some of the others. All you got to have is a little camera on both ends, and you can work it out. And that's as simple as that. Many laptops today, you can order them with a built-in camera.
Oh, you absolutely can. Absolutely.
Yeah, and if you'll notice, Jim, even some of the TV networks are allowing IP, video over IP, it's internet protocol. They're allowing that as feeds into their programming.
Well, yeah, they are, and that's the world as it is. It is spreading, as they say, virally.
Right.
The camera never blinks. But now it's everywhere, as Michael Phelps learned. But that's
right.
A real-life lesson. In any event, these things are available. Not only they cut costs, but they really can boost productivity. But just make sure you have your face on, whether you're a man
right.
or a woman.
Well, I always have my face on. I have makeup people here take care of me. Before the show,
well,
Jim,
they do on radio.
Every day.
It's on radio. It's key.
Exactly.
It is.
Energy use. The president's focusing on the whole national energy policy, and there are a lot of things that for one thing, just turn the lights off. I'll tell you something else you could do in our business here. At night we have in my home and in my business, we have programmable thermostats. Let me tell you something. You buy a little $150 programmable thermostat, it'll pay for itself in maybe 2 months sometimes.
Oh, it does. And we have the same here in my house here, our house. And that is fine. You can go and set, you know, at least four different settings and turn the temperature, especially in winter, way down at night, and let it come back up a few minutes before you're going to wake up.
You can program the whole thing, and you can even when you leave for a few days, you can program it to go down where it doesn't freeze the pipes or kill the plants or whatever, or the animals, and it's I tell you, if you don't have a programmable computer, you are throwing money down the drain, and it's not necessary.
You are. It pays.
Another thing that you guys talk about is barter, and we're gonna take a break in a few seconds, and when we come back, folks, we're gonna talk about bartering. Now, this is an interesting thing. Of course, as you know, folks, barter was the original way of doing business before there was money, and you know, long before, thousands, millions, who knows how many years before there was money, currency, we bartered. That's what we did with everything. Gonna take a quick break. You know, my shells for your shells. Right after these messages, we'll be back. Jim Mostroff is our guest. Stay with us.
I'm lonely, but no one can tell.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for hanging around with me, Mr. Humble, Mr. Gracious, at your service. Jim Ostroff is our guest. He's with Kiplinger Editors. We're talking about the most recent Kiplinger editor. Jim, one of the things, the most recent Kiplinger letter, I should say. Jim, one of the things that you guys point out, that, and I want to wrap up on this section, this segment, is bartering. You know, folks, the way radio works for a program like mine is barter. Jim, a lot of people probably don't know that, but whenever we work with a radio station, whenever my show is on your local radio station, that's a barter relationship. See, my clock includes breaks that are available to the local station. And so that's the reason why in some segments you hear local commercials, breaks you hear national commercials, and that's a barter situation. I provide my content to the station, and they stick local commercials in my content.
That's right.
And that's a classic barter situation.
Mm-hmm.
Other examples of barter would be, you know, if an accountant and an attorney were doing business together, they would share services.
That's right.
No money would change hands.
And you know, in today's environment, more people are looking to do that and just saying, okay, we don't have the cash, or maybe we don't want to. But I make something. I provide a service that has value, and maybe I can work with someone else and get something in return. But as you so rightly said, going on the lead out there, that was the first form of payment and exchange.
Yeah.
Thousands of years ago,
before there was currency, you know, there were cows and labor and whatever, you know. I mean, I've done it other things. When I was a business consultant, if somebody had something I wanted and they wanted me to help them with their business, we bartered for that.
That's right.
Now the IRS likes to know about this too, don't they, Jim?
Oh, they most certainly do. They consider it a cash transaction, and therefore various. I'm saying, you know, barter services will actually, you know, track payments, credits, and debits, and issue the 1099 forms. But it is, you know, the thing is, it is considered basically, you have received something or something provided, and the IRS wants to know.
But if you offset that, it washes.
Well,
they just want you to keep with the transaction. But But if I, you know, if I am a dentist and I clean your children's teeth, and you're an attorney and you help me with my legal issues, and we both establish that that's $1,000 worth $1,000,
it's a wash.
Then it's a wash. And so that's the way you handle that, folks. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Hey, Jim, let's move over and talk on page two about this housing thing that the president is proposing. He wants to save the housing decline. He's talking about curbing foreclosures. He's also talking about giving judges the ability to reach into contracts and change them. Jim, if he does that, if this administration pierces the sanctity of contracts, it's all over, Jim.
You know, I gotta say, people propose many things, and so often it really is a gambit. They say, you know, I know I'm not going to get it all, so I propose more. And the point here, I can't see how they would do that, because, like banking, the contractual agreement is the bedrock of business
of the marketplace,
society.
Jim. It's the bedrock of our market, of everything, of society. I mean, Jim, I understand if they want to have a little hyperbole, a little political license on some things,
but
you don't go talking about the sanctity of the things that are sacred, like contracts. And for any organization, any entity, any member of Congress, any president who plays fast and loose with the sanctity of contracts, that's a person or an organization that does not understand how we got to where we are right now. And I'm not talking about the recession. I'm talking about the United States being the wealthiest country in the world. They don't understand that.
I never say never, but I can't imagine that would come, you know, to pass.
Jim, it's close. I mean, they're talking about giving bankruptcy judges the ability to pierce contracts
and redo it. And
that's all part of their plan. The plan, it frightens me, Jim. And I just have to say that's folks, that's a loser. That is a circumstance from which we might not come back to anything that you recognize. And I don't think that's hyperbole. And that's me, by the way. That's not Kiplinger saying that. That's me. Tweeny Tail, stay with us. I'm Jim Lysingame. We'll be right back. Little Stones bringing us back. Welcome back, 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And Jim Ostroff is our guest, our good friend, member of our Brain Trust, associate editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And that website is kiplinger.com. And you can find all their publications there, the letter that Jim and I work off of every week, and Joan as well, Joan Pride, too. And that's a weekly publication that's been around since 1923. Small business, family-owned business since 1923 still. It's one of the great American success stories. The other publications, folks, are the four biweekly letters, the California letter, the tax letter, the agriculture letter, and the biofuels letter, and then, of course, their magazine. Jim, tell us about that.
Well, we have, you know, Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine, which... It, once again, like with Kiplinger, was the first one going back to the late 40s.
Yeah.
And try to help
also,
people get through tough times.
Also, that phone number, Jim, what's that number?
Yeah, there's a toll-free number, and it is 800-544-0155.
You know, Jim, I don't get your California letter. I wish I did, because I bet it's an interesting publication these days.
Oh, it
is. California is a basket case.
And, you know, they, as always, they so often lead the nation. They lead the nation in trends.
They lead the nation in basket case-ism.
They do. And it's like, they also will look, 50, $100 billion deficit.
Unbelievable. And they're raising taxes, Jim.
Well, yes.
What's wrong with that picture? These guys don't get it.
Growth.
These politicians don't get it. They don't understand that when the economy's tanking, you don't raise taxes, you cut taxes.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's counterintuitive for a politician to do that, but it works.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're They're very counterintuitive over there,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, they're too cute by half is what I think. Jim, let's move down and talk about the automobile industry.
Right, right.
Can these guys – why don't we just quit throwing money after bad and and come up with a structured way to get these guys into Chapter 11 and out of Chapter 11? They could – Jim, they could be in and out in 30 seconds.
Well, I got to say the thought here now among – in our government is to sort of do – out-of-court bankruptcy, which will take longer and maybe not deal with all of the issues. But the fact is that General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler do not have a business model that is right now at odds.
It's not sustainable.
With the situation. It is not sustainable, and they cannot cut their way to profitability.
No.
They can't do it. They need a basic restructuring of not only all their operations and the size, but also, of course, their legacy costs. No matter what you say about it, it was done fairly, this and that, but, I mean, for instance, as it is right now, the big three, the little three, owe the United Auto Worker Union $50 billion in another 10 months to get the whole healthcare thing off the company's books.
Wow.
General Motors' market capitalization is under $1 billion now.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, it's like 250 a share or something like that.
Or even a little less.
Yeah, maybe
I don't know. And it's just, and this they negotiated.
That's
this
Jim, that's called bankruptcy.
And the money.
That's called bankrupt.
It's like, let's see, we're worth far more than our debts. So, and, the fear is if we just let them go, them go, then, it'll have far worse consequences.
But Jim, sometimes you're better off just to pull the Band-Aid off all at once instead of one little bit at a time, I just don't see. And see, Jim, this is another example of something that was. We just got 1,000 little cuts here,
mm-hmm.
that's making everybody nuts, and it's not helping the economy.
Right, yeah.
Because Jim, so much of what's wrong with our economy is between our ears.
Right, and
it's not just what's in front of us; it's what's between our ears.
It is, and if there was over these many areas, just basically someone said, "Here is the resolution. Here it is, and here's what you can look forward to." I think many, and Kiplinger said, many, many people would at least say, okay, that's the bottom. That's the bottom. We can build from here.
That's what we got to do, but we keep finding new bottoms, Jim.
Making new bottoms.
I want to move down to talk about protectionism in the next section there, Jim. The Buy America provisions are going to backfire. I'm convinced. This is we're revisiting, Jim, some of the mistakes that were made in the 30s. With this Buy America thing, it sounds good, but in a global economy, Buy America is the first drop of a cascade that could ripple around the world and really could cause us to have a depression.
And absolutely, I got to say, we saw that. We have the antecedent there, the precedent.
Yep.
With Smoot-Hawley tariff.
Yes.
It sort of found its way, and signed by President Hoover in 1930. People did nothing. But very quickly, other nations erected their own barriers.
Yep.
And I can't say that absolutely caused the Depression, but it certainly didn't help. And
it was one of the big things it cost.
Contributed. Big contributors.
Increased taxes. But increased taxes by Hoover and Roosevelt and the Smoot-Hawley tariff were the two big reasons why we had a U.S. depression and then a global depression. The Smoot-Hawley tariff was the global depression, caused the global reason why they had a global depression. We can't do that, folks. We don't even need to be talking about stuff like that. That's the kind of stuff that just toxic talk. It's crazy talk. It's bizarro world stuff. Tintel, stay with us. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm getting wound up here. I'll be right back. In the air, on Broadway. But when you're walking down that street, and you ain't had it. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging around with me. It's my pleasure. Here's Joe Cocker bringing us back. This ain't no place for losers, ladies and gentlemen. If you're a small business owner, you're a winner. And if you're not, you're not going to make it. But I believe in you. I'm proud of you. And even if our government doesn't believe in you, even if our government just talks about it, and that's all they've been doing lately as far as I'm concerned. Jim Ostroff is with us. He's with the Kiplinger Editors. And, Jim, the program that the government is, the stimulus program, had very, very little, almost, well, it actually was embarrassingly little for small business, didn't it?
It just says something about priorities and mindset.
And a lack of understanding of where the real strength in the economy is.
It's just not only not there, but conspicuously absent for the most part. Even there were some plans, proposals to really modestly increase a very popular SBA, programs for small businesses, and it cut that in half. And we're talking here, when we're saying close to $800 billion, and for small businesses with program, these are loans, these are not grants.
Yeah, that's right.
$375 million.
But Jim, remember this. Yeah. Nobody can get that money directly from, and none of that's money. All of it's guarantees of the loans that you get from a bank. You got to have a lending institution first. If the lending institutions are not inclined to make loans,
you don't get
what
it.
Makes anybody think they're inclined to make an SBA loan? See, Jim, this is like the Section 179 direct expensing that they extended. They didn't give us anything new there. These SBA loans, They're acting like this a big gift, but the truth is the circumstances on the ground won't turn that into a benefit for most small businesses.
No. And it's like saying you can get it for free, with the card signed by all of your great grandparents and their it's not there, folks.
It's like giving you a keg of beer, but not giving you the tap to get the beer out of it. We don't know how to do it, or giving you food that you in a can, but you don't have a can opener. Thanks very much. I've got all this food that you're giving me, but I can't get to it. It's not helping me.
But you're
trying to get credit for giving me food. It just doesn't work, folks. And I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you got to start paying, we all got to start paying attention to what these people are doing, and we got to hold them accountable for what they're saying and what they're doing. We can't just listen to the rhetoric and feel good about it. We've got to make sure that they understand that words have to be turned into action, and actions have to deliver opportunity, have to deliver value. Otherwise, it's just running around like a chicken with their head cut off. And Jim, according to what the marketplace looks like right now, that's the way they feel about what the government's doing.
Well, and I'm saying, big business, small business, medium sized. They're right now. The efforts have been met with disbelief.
Yeah.
And it's true every time some member, administration, whatever, or Congress goes out there, gets on television or radio, and here's our plan, and people run to the door.
Yeah,
and
it sure seems like that.
Saying that objectively, that's just the way it is right now. They don't believe it. We need confidence, and you can't legislate that. But if nothing else, people need to say the right things, and they don't seem to do that or be willing to do it. I don't know, but it's distressing. Things will not get better until confidence improves.
Jim, one thing that's kind of scary too is over on page 4, you guys talk about Japan. Japan's misery is getting worse. They got all kinds of problems, and you guys say that they may be about to lose their stature as the number 2 nation.
Well, yeah. Certainly China could well overtake Japan.
Soon.
Very soon. I mean, it would be pretty much this year. And remember, folks, I've got to say, it wasn't too long ago people were saying Japan would overtake the United States.
Yeah, and Japan is one of our closest allies. They're one of our best trading partners.
Well, they absolutely are.
We need them to be strong.
We do, both for, you know, for trade, for business,
yeah,
and, of course, for defense. They are a keystone of our
economy. We can learn from their mistakes, too, Jim. That's something we need to be studying a little bit, and I'm concerned that we might not be doing that. Hey, Jim, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thank you all.
Jim Ostroff, ladies and gentlemen, with the Kiplinger Letters. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.